Discover the secrets to weight loss with the energy of power symbols. Imagine ending your cravings for sugar, carbs, and junk food just by wearing a symbol. To learn more, go to www.weightlosssymbols, that's symbols plural, .com. Also, to experience more peace of mind and less stress, you can join my newsletter by going to www.one, that's O-N-E, minute, energy, tuneup.com. That's 1 minute energy tuneup.com. There you will receive sample symbols, affirmations, and way more, including live telesummits, announcements of this radio show, and more. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to A to Zen Radio's Energy Healing for Body, Mind, and Spirit for Wednesday, December 7th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm your host, Cristalia Marie, coming to you live from New York, along with my special guest, Jodine Turner from Oregon. Tonight, my guest, Jodine Turner, will be sharing an experience of the divine feminine, the divine masculine, and the benefits of uniting them in your heart and body, an initiatory journey through visionary fiction. Jodine's novel, Carry On the Flame, addresses feminine and masculine energies as inner energies deep in our body and psyche, and also as divine forces. The forces of the divine feminine and divine masculine and their sacred union in your heart helps harmonize relationships and your life. It is the next step in humanity's evolution of both consciousness and our physical body. During the show, we will be discussing the newest view of what this is, what it means for us in our lives and in today's world, and we'll also talk about how it is woven into Jodine's story to give the reader an introductory journey. Jodine Turner is an author of YA adult fantasy, magical realism, visionary fiction, and paranormal romance. She's also a therapist, a consecrated priestess, and a deacon in the Gnostic Church of Mary Magdalene. While living in Glastonbury, England, the ancient Isle of Avalon, Jodine began writing the Goddess of the Stars and the Sea series about priestesses who have lived in Avalon through the ages to today. They are an adventure-filled initiation in the mysteries of the goddess, the divine feminine, divine masculine, and uniting them in your heart. First in the series is the highly acclaimed The Awakening Rebirth of Atlantis. The second novel is the award-winning The Keys to Remember. The third novel in the series, Carry On the Flame, Destiny's Call. Book 1. Is already award-winning. Carry On the Flame, Ultimate Magic, Book 2 will be released October 31st, 2011. Is that already released, Jodine?
It released yesterday.
Okay. To learn more about Jodine, you can visit her websites at jodineturner.com. That's JodineTurner.com. You can visit visionaryfiction.blogspot.com. So that's visionaryfiction.blogspot.com. Also, to receive a womb meditation, which is a foundational practice to connecting with the goddess of the stars and the sea. It includes background music by renowned sound healer Ani Williams, and the tones resonate specifically with your belly and your womb space. And you can get that by going, again, to jodineturner.com. So it's J-O-D-I-N-E, turner.com/downloadmeditation. All one word, all lowercase, downloadmeditation.htm. You'll also find those links posted on the A2Zen.fm radio station's website, where I've posted a description about tonight's show. So, Jodine, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm fine. Thank you.
Good, good. Well, I'm really excited to be talking about this subject today. So let's just jump right into it, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Okay. So let's first, would you tell me a little bit about why you decided to write this novel?
Sure. And actually, it's something that I think chose me. That's how I look at it.
Okay.
I had no intention of writing a novel like this. I've always loved writing. But in the early 1990s, I had an illness, and I had to stop working. So I went to visit Glastonbury, England. I've always been fascinated with Glastonbury ever since I read The Mists of Avalon. by Marion Zimmer Bradley. Yeah, it's a really classic book about priestesses and the Arthurian tale told through the priestesses of Avalon. So I went to Glastonbury, England, and I just had so many incredible experiences at the sacred sites there, and I got some clear guidance to write this book. So there I was, and I began writing it. So it really chose me, and I'm inspired by it. It's not a channeled book. It's nothing like that. It's just a pure inspiration from the sacred sites and the divine feminine energy that I experienced in Glastonbury.
Wow. So you want to talk a little bit about what the novel is actually about?
Sure. Each of the novels, they're a standalone read. You can read them separately. You can read them out of order. The last two novels, the Carry On the Flame series, are actually one story, but in the publishing world, they don't like you to publish a really long novel. So they just divided it into two parts. So Carry On the Flame, Destiny Call was just released this summer, and then Carry On the Flame, Ultimate Magic, as we mentioned already, released yesterday. And Carry On the Flame is about a young priestess in modern-day Glastonbury, England, who has to fight against her jealous aunt's black magic, which is aimed at stopping her from fulfilling her destiny to help humanity discover that divine love is the most powerful magic there is. And the story is the main character, Sheree. It's a story of the journey of the divine feminine. It's a story of the journey of reaching out and embracing your authentic calling in life and all the obstacles that can come along with it. The tale, it has a lot of magic. It's got a lot of mysticism, and it's steeped in Celtic tradition and ritual, too.
So the novel speaks to the current shift of the ages, of course, and also changes in consciousness, as well as the reemergence of the divine feminine and global and personal healing, which we all know is happening at major waves right now. Can you explain how the novel will help people and why it's relevant to today?
Sure. Well, as you said, and as your listeners already know and are aware of, it's the shift of the ages. I used to say that we were on the threshold of the shift of the ages, this change in consciousness, but we all know that we're in the middle of it right now. We're living it, and it's time to step up to the plate. So this shift, this golden era of spiritual evolution for humankind, my name for the evolutionary force behind it is the Goddess of the Stars and the Sea. She's the sacred feminine and the spirituality of embodied love. And in my novels, she's there to show us how to enter into this new way of being. And we've been at these junctures before. There's been critical turning points in human evolution and awareness. In the first novel, The Awakening, that critical turning point was in Atlantis during the demise, cataclysmic demise of Atlantis. There's been so many examples of this throughout history where we're called to do something different and to be something better. The Dark Ages, when the feminine began to be suppressed in a major way, is another example. The Keys to Remember, that's my second novel, goes into that. But today's shift of the ages is really special, as you're very aware. It's been prophesied by the Hopi Native Americans, the Mayans, many spiritual traditions. And everyone can participate consciously in this shift of the ages. That's an important message. Everyone can participate consciously. I think it's important that we look at the bigger picture. You know, with this shift of the ages, there's so much chaos going on, so much turbulence in our world. I mean, I barely need to mention all the government, the political, the religious chaos that's going on. And it's up to us, I think, to remember that in the bigger picture, it's a universal law that there's destruction and turbulence before regeneration. This is part of the bigger picture of what has to happen. Things have to be broken down before they can be built up again. So there's the storm before the calm, not the calm before the storm, as we often say. Right. So there's death before rebirth, in other words. And during these kind of times, the goddess of the stars and the sea, this evolutionary force of embodied love, in the novels, she's there to show the characters how to move through this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that some of the keys to navigating these times, I tried to clearly embed them in the novels. And one of the main focuses is that our bodies contain and hold the natural flow of this evolution. Our bodies put us in touch with this wisdom, with the pure consciousness of divine love that lives inherently in the deepest places in us. It's not something that's up and out there and transcendent. It's within us. So the whole premise is that your body is holy. It's not just a vehicle for your spirit. It's not just the clothing you discard at death. Your body is the body of the divine feminine. It's an expression of her. She embodies in us, in our bodies. So your body is divine, and your bodies serve us with tremendous devotion, and the body is what is, I see, going to be one of the major evolutionary changes to become a perfected human body vibrating on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
So the novels are about taking people from an old way of living and being, the old paradigms, and helping them to move into an expanded awareness and consciousness, which is that of embodied love and open hearts. And, you know, these shifts call people to do great things in their ordinary lives.
Okay. You know, I know the novel addresses the concept of course, feminine and masculine energy, both inner energies deep in our bodies and as divine forces. Can you talk a bit about the new view of what this is, how it's woven into the story, of course, and what it means for us in our lives and in today's world?
Yeah, I think it's really important that there's an awareness that every one of us, whether we're men or women, have, and most of your listeners already know this, we have a masculine aspect and a feminine aspect or principle or an energy within us.
Mm-hmm.
And these two energies, they're often in conflict with each other until they're healed, until they're brought to awareness and healed. So in the novels, in Carry on the Flame, I want to show how using the energies of embodied love and the sacred feminine energies can heal ourselves personally. And once we do that, that can bring about global healing. So the feminine energies are the receptive energies, receiving. You know, the importance of even receiving before giving. You can't give if you can't receive.
Right.
Yes, and so it's the dark, nurturing, and by dark I don't mean, you know, the connotations that have come down through the centuries of anything that's negative. By dark, I mean that rich, fertile, like the black earth kind of regeneration, the soil that's so nurturing and gives us the plants and the flowers and the food, that kind of darkness, the darkness of the womb, where there's regeneration and birth and creation going on, fertility, richness. So it's receiving, and that dark energy is the feminine. And the guidance and the intuition and the listening to that still inner voice within you. And the masculine is, of course, the action, the generous giving. The healed masculine will listen to the feminine's guidance and then act upon it.
Mm-hmm.
When these two aren't in harmony, when they're not dancing in harmony, it causes a lot of chaos in our life. For example, we may get the guidance, the inner intuition or feelings to do something. Let's say we want to begin a project. We want to even bake a birthday cake for someone. That's the feminine giving us the guidance to do something. Now, the masculine can come in, and he can either, in an unhealed way, be very rigid and very controlling and very dogmatic. You're going to bake this cake no matter what. You've got a cold. You're feeling overwhelmed. You've got kids pulling on you, but you got to bake this cake. Instead of, okay, we're going to bake this cake, and this is how we're going to do it so that we can nurture you and your children and your body and still get the cake baked.
Mm-hmm.
So the masculine and feminine need to work together. They need to work together. And an unhealed feminine can be sabotaging. can take a project that you want to do and just set up circumstances so that it never gets done. It gets procrastinated. It gets sabotaged. It becomes so overwhelming that you never complete it. So these feminine and masculine energies have to dance in harmony in our life. And it shows up in relationships, too. The person that can't commit because they can't receive love, that's an unhealed feminine. The person that's clingy and can't find meaning or self-worth within themselves is an unhealed feminine.
Mm-hmm.
So these things have to be harmonized. And I really believe that once they're harmonized, that can lead to the receiving of the Divine Mother's love can lead to also integrating the sacred masculine into your body.
Okay.
And that's what embodied love is. Yes, it's a very important concept. And in Carry on the Flame, Sheree really has a challenge with this. Her power is not worldly power in the traditional sense. It's a spiritual power of opening to know the love in her that's mightier than any sword to heal and transform herself and the chaos of these times. But she doesn't believe in herself, and she lives with an aunt who's very jealous of her powers and jealous of her financial inheritance, and just berates Sheree to the point where she can't even listen to her own inner feminine anymore.
Right.
The aunt puts her in a psychiatric hospital, furthering her, you know, not believing in herself. So Sheree has to come into her own power, and she has to believe in her calling in life. The goddess of the stars and the sea has asked her to help teach people how to embody love. So she has a whole struggle around her own inner demons and the outer demons. So, you know, the book is geared for anyone that's ever felt a calling or a mission in life that they resisted or are experiencing challenges of stepping up to meet that call. Sheree's journey is everyone's journey. And if you feel like you're not listening to your most authentic heart and want to, her journey is your journey.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that. I think that really will help the audience a lot. Can you please describe for our audience what visionary fiction is? Because I'm not sure everybody really understands what that is.
Yeah.
Can you explain it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, visionary fiction is a very old way of storytelling, but it's a new genre or category, really, relatively new. And it's a style of storytelling that has spiritual teachings and wisdom teachings embedded in the story. And it's storytelling similar to the Celtic bard. And bards were a class of religious order in the Celtic system of spirituality. They were trained storytellers. They trained for years and years. And they use their stories to entertain, to pass on their tradition orally, but also to pass on spiritual wisdom. So nowadays, visionary fiction uses story in much the same way as the Celtic bard. It embeds spiritual teachings, not religious teachings, I want to be really clear on that, but spiritual in an entertaining story form. It's sort of a spiritual quest inside a story, like the quest for the Holy Grail. There's a spiritual gem that's found, and the reader is invited to find that gem through the experiences of the characters, like Sheree and Carry on the Flame. The Celts had a term for the spiritual quest. I just want to add this. And they called that the Imram, I-M-R-A-M.
Mm-hmm.
And Imrams were physical travels to exotic places at the edge of the known world. But they were also a mythical and archetypal voyage of the soul in search of spiritual union. So I like to think of visionary fiction like an Imram, where the reader is invited to live the experience of the novel's characters and go on a quest for the spiritual gem.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Visionary fiction is wonderful to write, and, you know, it uses story as a gateway to metaphysical experience. And so there'll be elements of the everyday world, of course, in the story, but you'll also find the paranormal and metaphysical themes, the mystical, the magical, interdimensional, priest, priestess, communing with divinity, psychic and intuitive experiences, and maybe even paranormal beings like angels or demons. So visionary fiction speaks the language of the soul.
Beautiful. So before I go to the next question, can you give what's the best way for people to get copies of your book? Is it best to go to your website or Amazon or what?
You can go to my website, and there's a section to click on novels, and you can see all four of the novels and click right directly to Amazon or Barnes & Noble there, or you can go directly to Amazon.
Okay, good. Yeah. Great. So you created these MP3 meditations as an adjunct to the journal, to the novel, both the Journey to the Goddess of the Stars and the Sea meditation and the Free Womb meditation, which can be downloaded from your website. And I'm going to remind people where that is. It's jodeneturner.com, and that's the website also you can go to for her book and other products. And then it'll be jodeneturner.com/downloadmeditation.htm, so that's downloadmeditation, all one word, .htm. How are these related to the novel, and how can those meditations help people?
Sure. Let me just say, if people forget the whole URL, you can just go right to my website, jodeneturner.com, and I put a special section for your listeners that's just click on meditation, and it'll bring you to the free womb meditation.
Great.
If that's easier, yeah.
Okay.
That's right. So the MP3 downloads, I created them to go along with the story, because the Goddess of the Stars and the Sea is such a compelling force. I hear a lot from readers how they really feel her presence, and she speaks to them personally from reading the novels. So the womb meditation is a foundational practice. It's what Sheree used in Carry on the Flame to connect with the Goddess of the Stars and the Sea, using your womb, and if you're a man, it's using your pelvic floor. So men are not excluded from this by any means. And that is a place of power, a place of strength, a place of wisdom, a portal to the sacred feminine within you. So this meditation, the free meditation, will help people to connect with that space within their body and to connect to the Goddess of the Stars and the Sea and embodied love through that that womb space or belly. The other meditation, the Goddess of the Stars and the Sea, is a direct communion, a direct connection, a direct conversation. It offers a way through meditation and visionary work to commune with the Goddess of the Stars and the Sea. And that one, the Goddess of the Stars and the Sea download, has three different visualization meditations. By no means are they imaginary. They're real places in your awareness that you can go to and connect with her.
What is magic, and what roles does it play in Carry on the Flame?
Yes, magic has, I think, so many different positive and negative connotations. We're not talking the magic acts that, you know, pull a rabbit out of a hat. That's not what we're talking about. And we're not talking about anything that is negative or has the connotations of demonic. Magic is simply a change or a shift in consciousness. And the premise of Carry on the Flame is that divine love and human love are the most powerful magic that there is, that divine love and human love can overcome anything. And magic was something that was taught in mystery schools through the centuries. And the mystery schools were ancient schools that taught spirituality, magic, shifts in consciousness, and they provided spiritual tests designed to transform the illusions of limitation and fear inherent in living our human life. And they did this in order to bring about evolved states of consciousness. That's magic. And in the mystery schools, there were esoteric secrets that were guarded and only passed down to students based on their successful completion of the school's spiritual initiations. Again, that's magic. And oftentimes, as in Carry on the Flame, the mystery schools and the teaching of the shifts in consciousness were done by priests and priestesses. And priests and priestesses are simply mediators between the worlds of the seen and the unseen, between heaven and earth, between form and formlessness. You know, very much like a priest would be today. A priest or priestess brings spiritual energies through to the physical, and they're service-oriented and devotional-oriented. They work through ceremony, ritual, anything, art, dance, healing, teaching. And in Carry on the Flame, they are working, Sheree works to bring through embodied love, which is, I think, a very deep form of magic, to use that word. It's the divinity within, the divinity in matter, in physicality. Matter derives from the word mother. Divine Mother is one half of the source, the creator, whatever you'd like to call it. She is, I'm going to use the word God. I can use, again, the word creator or source, but she is God in form, God in physicality. And I kind of see divinity expressing itself in a spectrum that goes from spirit to matter. And I'll give you an analogy. We all know that water can be solid like ice, it can be liquid like the kind we drink, or it can be vaporous like steam, but it's still water. So divinity acts in the same matter. It's still divinity, whether it's expressed as our physical forms or it's expressed in the unseen realm of spirit. So embodied love is the awareness and practice of receiving and sustaining and giving out more and more love. It's keeping an open heart even amidst your anger, your sadness, your despair, your suffering. You know, Sheree in Carry on the Flame has this completely suppressive evil aunt that's taking care of her. And mm-hmm. she has to learn that it will be her undoing if she does not let go of the hate that she has for her aunt. And another important piece of this that I really think is crucial is that we don't go up and out of our body, leaving our body behind when we suffer, even when we pray, because our body is not, again, I said this earlier, our body is not a set of clothes that we wear. It's divinity. It's the divine feminine expressing itself in form. And this is a subtle nuance, but a radical shift from how we think in Western culture. If we go up and out, if we transcend, we leave our shadow, our wounds, we leave that behind us. And if we leave it behind us, they can run amok. They can act out in all sorts of destructive manners. So embodied love is about transformation rather than transcendence.
Beautiful. You know, you mentioned that the novel is a goddess mystery school initiation. And I know for myself, it's not been that many years ago that I heard about what mystery schools are. So maybe some of the listeners, can you explain what you mean by that and what a mystery school even is?
Yes. A mystery school is kind of an ancient concept, mm-hmm. and they taught spirituality, and they provided mentors and guides who would give spiritual tests to the initiates, mm-hmm. and the tests were designed to help them shift their consciousness away from limitation and fear, and in order to bring about evolved states of consciousness. Secrets were guarded. Mystery schools were the kind of thing where the normal person was not privy to the spiritual secrets. But I think nowadays it's a very different story, and that's why this shift of the ages is so special, because everyone can consciously take part in this and step up to the plate and claim a piece of evolving consciousness that will help everyone. If you do it for yourself, you do it for everyone.
Very important concept that a lot of people don't realize that, yeah, what we do for ourselves really does make a difference for everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all, you know, this collective deep psyche. We all,
right.
If you do something, it's going to be like a ripple effect, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
And I say that the books are a mystery school because they're a mystery school for spiritual initiation into the sacred feminine. And I purposefully embedded them with practical teachings that would provide opportunities for global and personal healing. And, you know, again, the healing is accomplished through embodying love, where healing is approached through the body. You go deeper into the infinitely within rather than transcending up and outside of ourselves. And the big shift is that the healing is through the divine love of the sacred feminine. You know, even the masculine and feminine that may be in conflict within you, you know, Jung even worked with the masculine and feminine. But the difference is I'm proposing that it's the divine feminine love, that love is the alchemical healing, is the transformation.
Beautiful. So, it's interesting. I've read some of the book. I have not completed it. It's really a fascinating book, and I really encourage you to go check it out, folks, because it's really a nice way to really experience this whole, as you call it, the mystery school initiation and the feminine and the masculine. So through a story versus many of the self-help materials out there today that are just that and nothing more. And I think that's one of the fascinating things I find about your book and many of the newer ones with the visionary fiction is it really helps people because they're not just reading something that's boring and going to put them to sleep. So,
yeah, well, people learn best through stories. We've learned that down through the ages, like the Celtic bard that I was speaking about. People learn through stories.
Yeah, they absolutely do. You say that the goddess of the star and the sea helps humanity through turbulent times, especially preceding major shifts in human consciousness, which, of course, is where we're at today based on many predictions. Can you share how the goddess of the stars and the sea really can help us?
Yeah. Well, we talked about embodied love, and she is present in our bodies. She is mm-hmm. the divinity in our bodies. So to tap into that, she teaches us how to, if we receive her love, it radiates out and affects our relationships and affects our life. When we receive and listen to that wisdom and that love that's inherent within us and go within rather than transcending up and out, there's an abundance of gifts that are held right in our bodies. So she also teaches us the power of our heart space. It's an alchemical vessel of transformation through her love. It's trusting your authentic voice within, which, you know, that concept has been suppressed for so long. Intuition, science has been deemed more important. So it's about receiving her love, listening for her through your body, developing an awareness through your body's wisdom and flow. It's a slower rhythm. The mind is a fast rhythm. The emotions are a step down, but the body's a slower rhythm. And there's real wisdom in the stillness and the slowness of the body. And this embodied love just teaches us how to increase our capacity to receive, sustain, and give out love. And again, the importance of keeping our hearts open, even amidst our anger and our fear and our guilt and our sadness and our pain. I have to say that when I've been writing these books for about 10, 12 years, and they're a fictionalized account. They're an adventure story. There's, you know, love, romance, murder. It's got all the elements of a novel. I always knew that someday I'd come across something that would help me to show the practical pieces of how to embody love on an even deeper level than the novels. And I came across this through a body of spiritual teachings called Adorata, which Adorata is Latin for the beloved, adoring the beloved. Mm-hmm. And it was developed by a modern-day mystic, Tiziana della Rovere, lovely Italian name. And yeah, and these spiritual teachings are practical tools to teach you how to embody love, because it's a wonderful concept, but how do you do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to mention that I always knew this would come along. I even prayed for it. And I now, along with the novels, have the tools to offer people through teleconference classes.
Mm-hmm.
There's practical stepping stones called the Virtues, the Divine Mother Virtues. They're practical stepping stones that will give you the practical pieces. And I do teach this now. So when I'm talking about embodied love, I wanted to make sure that it doesn't stay just a concept, or, you know, you can learn so much through the novels, and there's this practical piece.
Okay, good. That's yeah. Important to know, so people do have a way to learn how to apply this from a practical standpoint.
Yeah, because it doesn't make much difference if it's a concept in your mind, does it?
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
And there's information
yeah.
on that on my website, too.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So can you give us an example of applying the wisdom of the Goddess of the Stars and the Sea to the real and present-day circumstances that we have, or maybe tell us a bit about what the characters do to tap into that wisdom?
Yeah, yeah. Sheree in Carry on the Flame, she's just riddled with grief and losing her parents and hatred for this aunt. And she resists her calling from the Goddess of the Stars and the Sea, and she becomes engulfed in the inner demons of her hatred and what her aunt has done to her. So she has to learn to open her heart to love, and her journey is about the power of love to heal and transform us, to empower us to do whatever we're called to do in this world. And each time she's called to her destiny and she opens or resists to it, she's given this opportunity. And we have the same opportunities in each and every moment. We're called to tap into the wisdom and love that's inherent in our bodies, that, you know, where the divine feminine is expressed in our physicality. And in each moment we have the opportunity to open or resist, to answer to this call of love, even when it's most difficult. And, you know, Sheree, some of the things that she does to help her do that is she, and believe me, she resists it a lot, but she eventually, you know, has to drop into her heart and put her attention there, and not relying on her thoughts as the absolute truth. You need to balance the wisdom of your body and your heart, the wisdom of love, and allow your heart to be embraced in the heart of the divine feminine, all your feelings, all that happens to you. You know, your heart is an alchemical vessel, a vessel of transformation. And oftentimes nothing needs to be figured out with your mind. It's, you know, dropping into your heart and giving your heart the breath and the space to bring forth its wisdom that will help you. Again, if you transcend and you leave all your negative, I'm going to call them negative feelings, but you leave your shadow and your wounds, if you transcend up and out of them, it can cause all sorts of destruction in your life. The other thing that Sheree does is the womb space meditation. It's a very prominent piece of her connecting with the power and the strength and the wisdom of her womb. That's why I made the womb meditation, because that's a tool that Sheree uses.
Mm-hmm.
She also does, excuse me, she balances her masculine and feminine within by being in her body. And there's a Beltane sacred union ritual that she undergoes. Yeah, Beltane is a Celtic tradition.
Mm-hmm.
It happens in May, May 1st, May Day. It's the time of the profusion of the abundance of summer, with all the flowers and the fertility that goes on. And there's an opportunity for sacred union in a ritualized fashion with Beltane. And it's something that the Celts did for centuries. And so there's a Beltane sacred union ritual that's real core piece of the novel, too.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what inspired the novel and what is inspired by the novel?
Yeah. You know, what inspired the novel, again, is the contact I had with the goddess, with the force of the divine feminine, as I experienced her in Glastonbury, and the possibility of talking about her love and her energy in a story form. You know, it feels like that was one of the things that I'm here on the planet meant to do. So that really inspired me. You know, it's just a new physical way of being. And you know, my own experience of opening to my heart wisdom, using my body as the most direct connection to the divine. It is the most mm-hmm. direct connection. It's, you know, our bodies are here. We're inhabiting them. So the divine's right inside of them. They're a touchstone to the present moment, again, which is the most direct experience of the divine. Our sensations keep us present to the love available in each moment. So I was inspired by my experiences in Glastonbury, England, inspired by my experience of the divine feminine. And, you know, as I was writing Carry on the Flame, I have to admit that while it offers a mystery school initiation and a journey for readers, the writing of it is also an initiatory journey. Sheree had to face her demons within. And one of them was grief, and I found I had to go through a really deep piece of my own grief. It stopped me from writing, and I had to deal with it before I could continue writing and before I could give let Sheree express the depth of her experience through the story. So she faced her demons within and in the external circumstances to reclaim her power, and so did I in the writing of it. And most importantly, she opened her heart to receive love, human and divine. She had to do that, and I think that's really core and important for us in today's world.
Well, thank you for sharing about how you went through the grief thing, because, you know, they always say we teach what we most need to learn, right?
Yeah, yeah, and you know, there's a saying with authors that you just cut your jugular and you bleed onto the page. That's what writing's about. It's so true. You know, you really have to dig deep. And if you want to dig deep, you have to go through your stuff. You just have to.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your stories are about priestesses. And for some of the audience that doesn't know, what can you talk about what a priestess actually is?
Yeah, priestess is, you know, she is a mediator, a priest, he is a mediator, between the physical and the spiritual, between the worlds of the seen and the unseen. Priestesses can tap into and speak into and share what they find with, and everybody can be a priestess or a priest. I mean, it's been very ritualized and consecrated over the centuries, but being a mediator between the worlds is what it essentially is, bringing spiritual energies up through the physical. And they're very service-oriented and they're devotional to source, creator, god, goddess, whatever you'd like to call it. And how they bring the spiritual energies through to the physical, they work through things like healing and teaching and dancing and creating art, the written word, poetry, ritual, and ceremony. And so it's a very
beautiful,
simple definition and very profound.
And you actually are a priestess yourself, right?
I am, yes, yes. And as I mentioned, it's, you know, priestess nowadays can be an everyday sort of function if you're bringing spirituality through the physical. But there was a very, you know, formalized path of initiation and instruction that I went through, so I am a consecrated priestess, yes, and I'm going through another round with this, the Adorata that I spoke of before, which deepens it even further with the sacred feminine, divine mother, and the sacred union of the masculine and feminine and the divine masculine and divine feminine within, uniting them in your heart and your body. So I'm going through another round for another priestesshood for that after I finish being certified to teach the practical pieces of embodied love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going through the ordination.
Can you share one of the stories about the priestesses that's directly from the novel? Maybe give us a small reading or just share one of the stories, whatever you're more comfortable with.
Yeah, why don't I, how about if I give you a short excerpt from Carry
okay.
on the Flame Destiny's Call. And I've mentioned the main character's name is Sheree, and she's a young priestess who was unjustly committed to a psychiatric hospital by her jealous aunt who wants her inheritance and her magical powers. And in this excerpt, she meets Dylan, who is an elderly wizard from Wales in the United Kingdom, who poses as a patient in this hospital to help Sheree. And this short excerpt is where they meet in the day room of the psychiatric hospital. So that's just a setup for the scene. Dylan's knobby hands scratched his scrubby gray beard. Index finger curled, he motioned for Sheree to join him at his table. Sheree hesitated. The old man pointed to the spread of cards before him and chuckled. He held one up for her to see and furtively laid it back down again. Curious, Sheree stood and scuffled across the room, the closest she could come to walking while on her medicine. Making her way past the vacant gaze of a middle-aged female patient. She sat in a worn wooden chair across from the old man, the table and mysterious cards lay between them. Dylan, he preferred his weather-beaten hand in welcome, Dylan Emrys, born in the north of Wales, high in the mountains in a town no one's ever heard of, born and raised there. His voice was deep but carried the musical lilt of a heavy Welsh accent. Sheree extended her hand and watched it tremor, another side effect of her medicine. She quickly withdrew it, embarrassed. The shaking's nothing to be ashamed of. Easy to remedy. Here, try again. Dylan's hand hung over the cards, waiting for hers. Timidly, Sheree offered her hand again. She was surprised at the strength of the old man's grip. He pressed his thumb against the top of her index finger and held on as if he awaited a return gesture. I thought perhaps you remembered the greeting of the ancients, but sadly not. Sheree leaned her head to the side, wiped the drool from her mouth against her shoulder, leaving a wet stain on her sweater. The old man must be crazy, she thought. Sure, some call me crazy. Others call me wise. Dylan smiled, a full grin this time. Two dimples appeared in his deeply creviced face. Sheree pulled her hand away, her eyes opened wide. How did he know what she was thinking? Nothing to be afraid of. Anyone can learn to read another's thoughts. You've done it sometimes, too. Sheree didn't answer. She wondered if she could get away from Dylan without creating a scene. All right, I'll give you this piece of advice, and then maybe you'll trust me. Dylan leaned in close to Sheree. Cheek your medicine, he whispered. What? Cheek it. Take the medicine in your mouth. Roll it with your tongue to the back of your cheek near to your gums. Nurse will check your mouth, but she won't see it. Then you spit it out when she leaves. Dylan leaned back, obviously pleased with himself. Nurse won't see it? No, just do it. It'll stop that silly drooling of yours. Sheree giggled nervously. Of course, it was so simple. How did you learn to do that? Dylan shrugged and stroked his beard. I know many things. Take this card, for example. He held up the card he had tried to show her before. Tarot cards, Sheree said, recognizing the trump from a similar deck her mother had allowed her to play with as a child. The cards were divinatory. When shuffled and laid out in a pattern, they could be interpreted, often giving readings that made accurate and profound pronouncements about one's life situation. Sheree took the card he offered her. Its edges were worn, the colors faded. It showed the picture of a young man and young woman facing each other with hands clasped, standing under a rose trellis and being blessed by a hooded figure of the goddess. The words "lovers" was printed across the bottom of the card. Sheree felt a fluttering in her womb, as if the card fanned the flames of the burnt-out embers of her inner strength there. She had almost forgotten about this power spot in her body, hadn't felt its heat since the day she met the psychiatrist, Dr. Duluth, a full 6 months ago. "Yes, Tarot, but this is a very old deck, a special deck." Dylan lowered his voice. "This card is for you. Keep it with you. Sleep with it under your pillow and don't show it to anyone else." Sheree touched the outline of the figures with her fingers, inexplicably intrigued by the faded picture. Dylan coughed. Sheree looked up to see Dr. Duluth walk toward her, clipboard in hand, two interns following obediently behind. She shoved the card under her sweater and tucked it inside her bra. Dylan laid a magazine across the top of his card spread, his movements betraying none of the anxiety Sheree felt whenever she saw Dr. Duluth. There you go.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. That gives people an idea of what a powerful story you've written, and I think that'll help them understand why they really do need to read this story. So you offer a meditational and spiritual teleconference service, you mentioned, for groups. So can you describe that and explain how this relates to the messages that are in your novels?
So there, it's because I'm a certified Adorata practitioner and teacher now, I offer these classes as the practical piece to the message in the novels, the message of embodied love, the message of uniting your feminine and masculine within, both your wounded feminine and masculine and your divine feminine and masculine within your body and within your heart. And the classes offer the practical pieces. They're called the virtue classes, and the virtues are 16 qualities, kind of archetypal qualities, such as wisdom, devotion, harmony, abundance, passion, trust, to name a few. And each of these virtues are an aspect of the sacred feminine that are a stepping stone. They're practical practices, they're readings and messages from the sacred feminine, and they offer a way, a practical way of how to embody divine love. So the classes are 9 weeks long, hour and a half each, and they're teleconference classes. And then I also do private practice where I lead people into what we call the descent and enlovement process, and you kind of dive in, deep into your deep psyche to find the wounded and unhealed inner masculine and feminine and heal it using the transformative power of divine love, divine feminine love. And that's where the healing is a little different, because we're using directly the power of the divine feminine love to heal and transform. And enlovement is the word that we use for that process of healing those wounded pieces. And it's a way of calling upon your deep psyche that's very deep and profound. A good analogy is when we dream, we're tapping into our deep psyche, so our deep psyche is calling us like a telephone call. And with the descent and enlovement process, we are calling, making the telephone call to the deep psyche. And I found it to be an incredible, again, healing modality. It's helped me to be able to keep my heart open in some pretty difficult, challenging situations I've had in my love, in my life. And you know, if we can just keep our heart open, even amidst all the stuff that goes on, it's a very empowering, healing way to be. So I've found that both the virtue classes and doing the descent and enlovement, I've seen a lot of changes both within myself and within the people that I've worked with. So it's carrying further the message of the novels into a practical way of applying it.
Okay, and they can learn more about those on your website, JodeneTurner.com, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Jodene, thank you so much for being on the show today. You've been a wonderful, wonderful guest, and thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed
it. You're welcome.